good? Well, good evening. First, I'd like to thank the church for allowing me to get up and share a few things with you. And second, please forgive me, for it has been quite some time since I have done something like this, so I may seem a little nervous, which I am. I don't have an emergency backup plan, so if Kevin, if I fall out, I got notes up here. Okay, they're well written, so just you should be able to follow along. Originally, when Kevin asked me to do this, I didn't hesitate because I knew this was something I had to do. I knew it was something that I wanted to do, and I knew exactly what I was going to talk about before I even asked. I did, however, struggle with a theme to tie it all in, because I just, the more I tried, the more I struggled, the more, you know, so. But unknowingly, 2 weeks ago, in the church parking lot, after Wednesday night church, my wife gave me the theme. We're sitting in the parking lot, and she's in the back seat with Dawson, and she's smiling at him, she's looking at him, she's talking to him, and she says, "God must love me, because he gave me you." And I thought, well, that's it. You know, that's the theme. So that's what I'm going to try to tie in tonight. I'm going to tell you two stories. One is kind of a reflection of a few years ago, but the next one is a reflection of this year. But I can't have one without the other. So we'll start with story one, which is what I call the power of insight. So I believe that I have the power of insight. Okay? So after graduating college, I was I took a job where I was forced to travel a lot. I was probably gone 9-10 months out of the year. And during that time, there was a lot of lonely nights. I was with my friends, of course, but they're not really your family. They're not your church family. And I struggled spiritually. And I was weak during that time, and I neglected a lot of things, you know, bouncing from city to city to, you know, town to town, week to week, month to month. You never knew where you were going to be, so it was hard to find churches, which was my excuse. And right, wrong, or indifferent, I was in a dark place. And I neglected my family at that time. And I knew something had to change in my life. There had to be a drastic event. So I'm sitting outside a hotel outside of Chicago, and I thought, I'm going to marry Emily Cole. I thought, how random is that? She doesn't even probably know I exist right now. It's been so long since we've seen each other. But as you can figure out, I figured out a way. And 2 years later, on July 3rd, 2009, Emily and I got married. You saved my life. And I apologize. All I can say is I know God loves me, Emily, because he gave me you. Second story. Dawson Debug Brody. The strongest little booger I know. So the older I got in life, the verses in the Bible in regards to life is but a vapor, you know, became more and more a reality for me. Time passes quickly, and I wasn't ready for that, you know. Almost 10 months, Dawson will be 10 months old, you know what I mean? And that's scary, it's great, but it's hard to believe. However, on March 3rd of this year, time stood still. I can remember it like it was yesterday. We were in the delivery room. We were working hard, you know, and I had my sleeves rolled up, and there was a break in contractions, and so I felt like I needed to walk away. So I found a cabinet, and inside that cabinet was a towel, and I had a cup of water, and I took the cup of water, and I poured the water in the towel, And I glanced over at the nurse, and we had a little mental conversation. And in that mental conversation, she thought, how sweet. This husband is going to dab this wet towel on his wife and make her feel comfortable. Well, little did she know, that was for me. So I was taking it and rubbing it on my face. And I looked over, and she was like, really? That's what you're going for? I was like, well, hey, it's hot in here. And she's laying down, and I got to stand up. So, but no, I use it on her too. So all is well. 12:44 p.m., Dawson Cole Brody entered this world. And as Dr. Rayford laid that child across Emily's chest, I no longer looked at her as my wife. I looked at her as a mother. And it's amazing how good God is, because instantaneously she was a mother. You know, and I can't describe it. If you don't have children, I can't describe it to you. And I know that Emily would go to the end of the world and back and love and cherish that boy forever and ever. I know that. Life, that was probably, beyond being baptized, the greatest day of my life. And little did we know, the next 2 weeks, our family, our new family, would be tested beyond belief. You see, post-delivery, Emily struggled with her blood pressure. It got a little high. I didn't think anything about it. I didn't think it was a big deal. Until a doctor caught me in the hallway as I was going to get a drink or something. I can't remember. My days got mixed up. And he said, I want you to know that your wife is in serious risk of seizure, stroke, and heart attack. And as a new father, that's the last thing you want to hear. So, as you can imagine, that was a long walk back to the room, because I'm facing a lot of uncertainty in my head. You know, you're asking, what if? What can I do? Probably nothing. But I had to be strong, you know. I had to be strong for her, for our family. And so I walked in, and I had to be a rock, and that's what it did. That's what we did. We prayed. You prayed. And today we're so thankful for that, because that Friday, the medication worked. Her blood pressure was down, and everything was good. And they said, hey, you're going home today. Life couldn't have been any better. But they said, hey, Dawson can't go. So what do you mean? What are you talking about? He's been in our room all week long. He's been good. He's like, the doctor said, yeah, we know, but overnight his body got cold. So we have to warm his body up. So he is forced into the NICU. And I think the protocol in the NICU is like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, something like that. So that in and of itself, and it was not uncommon, so it's still, you know, that hurt a little bit, having to drive home without your child. But we understood. We understood that he was in good hands. And again, we prayed, you prayed. And we can never repay that from you guys. Once his body temperature was stabilized, we were able to take him home. All right. You know what I mean? Now, real life begins. So I'm driving 35, speed limit 70. You know, and, you know, we get home, and we're like looking at each other, what are we going to do? We're new parents. We're scared to death, right? But it was okay, because it was great. And then not 24 hours later, we got a phone call from the emergency room. And they said, you need to bring Dawson back. No questions asked. Just pack your bags and bring it back. So, you know, we didn't know what to do. So packed a bag, did what they said, rushed there, and they immediately rushed him in and connected all the tubes and the wires and all the things he had. But the thing that killed me the most was the IV in the head was a very tough thing for me to grasp. And still no answer. We were still scared to death. We had no idea what was going on. Late that night, we finally got up to our room, and the doctor finally came in and said, your son potentially has a condition called congenital adrenal hyperplasia. I have no idea. Say that three times fast, right? And in a nutshell, if uncaught, he could have, I'm not even going to say it, within 2 weeks. His body would have went into adrenal shock, and he would not be with us. See, CAH is the acronym for that. He does not produce the steroid cortisol in his body, which is his fight or flight mechanism that we all have that says, hey, something is wrong. I broke a bone. Something is wrong. We got to fight it. He doesn't produce. He loses 12%. So now, Emily and I are forced for the rest of his life to give him medication three times a day. It's been a trying time, but we found a way, you know. And are there times of depression? Sure. Are there times of asking why? Sure. I mean, I don't know any normal people that wouldn't. But I do know one thing is I wouldn't change a thing. Because it made us who we are today, you know. And I would almost, just because it's me being his dad, is the happiest, strongest baby I've ever seen. And all I can say to Dawson, I know you can't understand me, this is from me and Mommy, is I know God loves us because he gave us you. To our church family, to our families, to our original, our immediate families, you did so much for us. You were there every night. People I didn't even know were coming in and telling us they were praying for us, you know. And that's a blessing to us. And I'll leave you with one verse and one quote, and that's 1 Corinthians 10:13, and that reads, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. And from myself, Emily, and Dawson, we know God loves us because he gave us you.
Justin, you're not the only one that gets nervous. I get nervous too. And I'm a little bit older than you are. But I tell you, it's going to be difficult going to God in prayer after that. I would just say thank you, God, and sit down, I guess. Because that was a very highly inspiration talk, and I appreciate it. Let's approach our Father. Our Holy Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful to you for Justin, for Emily, and for Dawson, and for what they mean to this congregation, and what they mean to each other, and what they mean to you. We're grateful that they're here, and we're grateful that we can be part of their lives. Father, we have been blessed so abundantly this past year. Things that we probably never dreamed of, we now have, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity, though, of most of all, of being able to know who you are and being able to walk by faith, knowing that you've given us things that we need to do that. We thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship you this past year as a congregation. So many blessings for that, and we do thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of forgiveness of sins and for that relationship that we can have with you and your Son, because you have redeemed us from a life of sin and total helplessness. Father, we thank you for this past year, for the wonderful year of harmony and peace we have in this congregation. We ask you, Father, to help us, each one, that we might make our relationship and our congregation even better in the future. Help us, Father, as we look back to see how to improve our service to you and our service to each other, individually and collectively. Help us, Father, to show appreciation to our elders and our brothers and sisters and others who take a lead in this congregation, who provide a great service. We thank you for that. Help us, Father, as we reflect back on this past year, that we would look back and think about things that we could have done that might have made it better and easier for some people, for those who are doing things. Help us, Father, that we can all improve in the future. We're grateful, Father, for Kevin and Brooke and their sons and their being with us here at Marion Street, for the good teaching and the many deeds of service that they do for this congregation. Father, we do remember those at this time who lost family members and loved ones last year. Those who are still grieving, they need your help, and we pray that you would be with them. And there are others, Father, who are sick and having very trying times, those of this congregation, and we ask you to be with them in a special way, and may their health be restored and those things be removed that are bothering them. Father, we are grateful that we can be members of this congregation at Marion Street, and we ask you to be with us every day for the things that we do might be beneficial in our serving you and serving each other. Father, we ask you that you would continue to bless us with the things we need. And as we close this prayer, we ask you to help us to look back and think about things that we can do better this coming year if we have such. How to fulfill our obligation to you, our obligation to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind and your ways, and to love our brothers and our sisters as ourselves. Help us to do that, Father, and do it in a way that will be uplifting for all of us and for this congregation. Father, help us to please you in all that we do. Help us to not miss heaven, where all the comfort and joy and peace and happiness is, but mainly, Father, because that's where you live. And where you live is where we want to be, because you are the one thing that none of us can afford to be without. Father, be with us all the days of our life. Help us to live lives that would be pleasing to you, patterned after that of your Son. And when this life is over, we pray that you would let us see your face and your Son's face in heaven on that great, wonderful day. And what a great day of rejoicing that will be. We ask these things in the name of your Son and our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
First song will be from the Red Book, number 2, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Vaughn, you got me nervous there for a moment because I didn't think you were going to lead a very long prayer, and I needed a little buffer after that talk before I could lead a song, but that was so uplifting. Let's lift our voices in praises right now. Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim, all his souls together praise him, sun and moon and stars on. Above exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah. They were made at His command. Them forever He established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah. All ye floods, ye dragons, all. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great earth's judges all, praise His name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praise His give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
The second song will be Fairest Lord Jesus, number 41 in the big book. Fairest Lord Jesus.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O Thou of God and man, the Son, Thee will I cherish, Thee will
I'll be reading Psalms 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, as we reflect on things of the past, consider the things that have happened to us in the past year, consider the things that we've been able to do as individuals, and as a congregation. We realize, Father, that you are in control. We realize, Father, that even though we do the very best that we can do better, Father. We ask for your guidance in the coming year to help us to improve both physically and spiritually. Help us to be a family, friends to one another, Father. Help us, give us strength, Father, to live in a world that seems every day to love you less. Every day the devil seems to take a bigger hold on the world, Father. But with your strength and your guidance, Father, we can overcome this. And we pray for your guidance, Father. We pray for strength from you. We pray for strength from each of the family members here, Father. Help us to remember that you are in control. Father, as we reflect on the things that are happening in the world around us, we realize that there are things that we do not have any influence over, Father. Things that go on in other countries and other parts of the world, Father. But we can influence those things that go on around us, Father. And we pray, Father, that you'll give us the strength to be a shining light to those around us. Help us as a congregation to look out into the world and help those that need your word, Father. Help us through the coming year to go out into the world, to encourage others to learn your word, encourage others to obey your word, Father. We have so many young families here, Father. They're an encouragement to us. We pray, Father, that those that are older will be an encouragement to them. There are a number of things that we can learn from those that are younger, Father, and there are a number of things that the younger can learn from us who are older. We pray that we'll encourage one another and strengthen one another and be with one another as the need comes. And Father, we have a number of people that have been sick in the past year. We pray for them, Father. We pray for improved health for them in the coming year. We have a number of families that have lost loved ones during the past year, Father, and we pray that you'll comfort them and help us, Father, to encourage them and to comfort them. For we know that we can comfort them with your guidance and with your help, Father. We're so grateful, Father, for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in the past year, and we pray that you'll continue those blessings upon us. We pray, Father, for continued freedom in this country. It seems that in the past few years we have lost so many freedoms, Father, but we're still able to worship you, and we pray that we will be able to continue to worship you without fear. We ask, Father, at this time that you look down upon us, be merciful to us, and show us your grace, Father, for without your mercy and grace, Father, we don't have a chance for eternal life. We're so grateful for your Son who gave his life for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Our next song this evening will be number 10 in the supplement. 10 in the supplement. Let's stand while we sing this. Do mi so mi. I have seen you walk down a dusty road. I have watched you stumble from my heavy load. In my heart I struggled, but I always knew the Holy Redeemer from heaven was you. My eyes have seen your glory. My hands have touched your face. My heart still burns within my breast from the warmth of your embrace. My eyes have seen your glory. To an end, I'll rest in your endless grace. I have seen you heal the lame, the blind. I have watched your goodness, so pure, so kind. In my heart I crumbled when I watched you die, but now I rejoice, for I know you're alive. My eyes have seen your glory. My heart still burns within my rest from the warmth of your embrace. My eyes have seen your glory. My life forever, forever changed. And when the journey comes to an end, I'll rest in your endless grace, your grace. Be seated, please. Our next song will be number 92. Number 92 in the supplement, Be Unto Your Name. And for the song after Collier's talk tonight, we'll use Just As I Am, I Come Broken. Brian, Just As I Am, I Come Broken. Do mi so mi. We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name, be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name, be unto your name. Collier.
When Kevin texted me a while back to ask if I was interested in giving a short talk, I really just wanted to say thanks, but no thanks. I'll pass. Because how do I fit this past year into just a short talk? It has been a roller coaster ride, at least from my perspective. We put our house up for sale, and I've mentioned that before, so the stress that comes with cleaning it over and over when you got two little kids and all that. I changed jobs, so that was a big thing for me. Jessica had surgery on her hand. Luckily, that went well. It's pretty minor. Baker had surgery to remove a big lump from his neck. Jessica and I got pregnant with our third child, and 4 months later, that child was lost. Some of you have had much better years than I did, but I'm sure some of you have had worse years than I have had. I know y'all probably all heard it said that if everybody could come together and we could bring all our problems and put them into a big stack, most of us would probably take back the problems we brought with us. That as we looked around with things that other people were dealing with, maybe we wouldn't want to trade. I'm not much of a crier. I don't say that to try to brag, you know, look at me, I'm all macho. Because after all, Jesus wept. And I can tell you, he was a lot more manly
than I will ever be, a lot tougher than any of us are. But I have to say, this year I have cried both tears of sorrow and tears of joy. And there are many lessons that I will take away from 2015, but perhaps the biggest lesson that I have taken from it is that so much of what I consider to be my life is completely outside of my control. And I guess that syncs up well with what Justin had to say to us earlier. So much of our lives, we just have to live on faith and hope. We walk by faith and not by sight. Again, just for example, we have shown our house multiple times this year, but I can't make somebody buy it. I made a decision to change jobs, but I had to do it on the hope that it would be a good decision and work out for the best. I was sick to my stomach, literally, thinking about my son having to have surgery and not knowing whether the results of that would be good or bad. It was totally outside of my control. I would have done anything to be able to just snap my fingers and make my unborn child alive again, but he was beyond my reach. Can we just be honest with each other for a minute and admit that even as Christians, with all the blessings and good things we enjoy, sometimes life is just tough. And I imagine the older we get, you know, the more we tend to realize that. Sometimes life just seems so unfair. It seems random. Sometimes it can just be downright cruel. It makes no sense to us. We're unable to see a reason, a greater plan behind the things that happen. You know, tonight we're just hearing from two of us. I imagine if we all had a chance to get up and talk about the things we've dealt with this past year, we'd be here all night until sometime in the morning, because we all have things that we're going through. And I think that maybe a good analogy is all of us in some sense are kind of the walking wounded. You know, we all have things. Sometimes they're big public things, you know, sicknesses. And, you know, we look around the room and I know there's people here who are fighting cancer, who have lost loved ones, who are, you know, and we know about those things, and those are big things, but everybody here has private things they're dealing with, private temptations and struggles. And I guess sometimes we feel like we're alone in those things, that there's nobody that really understands us. And sometimes if it weren't for the faith and hope that we share, it would be easy to agree with what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11. He said, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." I've questioned a lot of things this past year. I've struggled. Sometimes I've seen God's hand at work clearly. Sometimes I haven't seen it. I've struggled to see it. But I want to tell you briefly about a few times I have seen God's hand at work in my life. I have seen God in many of you here tonight who brought us food, who prayed for us, who sent us cards, sent us flowers, asked how we were doing, who lived out God's command to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I saw Jesus in a hospital employee who met a couple of strangers in the middle of the night, 2,000 miles from their home, who were enduring one of the longest, hardest, toughest days of their life away from family and friends, and who treated us like friends. I believe her name was Regina. Wherever you are tonight, Regina, thank you. I remember that the Lord said, "Whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." Sometimes we think, well, there's just nothing I can do. Well, I promise you, just the smallest acts of kindness when someone's going through a time of crisis, they're magnified 100-fold. I caught just a glimpse of how God must love us when I heard the words of a nurse who told me over the phone, "Your son's biopsy has come back, and the doctor has written on here, benign. Everything's fine. Cancer free." See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. and such we are. I see Jesus in those of you who have sacrificed your time and energy this past year to teach Bible classes, both adult, and I'm actually thinking specifically of those of you poor women, you poor souls who teach these 1, 2, and 3-year-olds who are, you know, screaming and crying and doing anything but listening, but you're trying to teach them. And I appreciate that. And I remember how God says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. When you teach the Bible, you're beautiful in the sight of God. Even your feet, He says, are beautiful. I see the sacrificial love of God in those of you who give away your money to help those who are struggling. And I remember that it was our Savior who said, when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I see God's love when I see young parents who are trying to worship God while dealing with a hungry baby or a fussy toddler. You know, there's been so many times this year that I've taken the Lord's Supper and then I felt like I needed to go forward because I didn't do it right. I tried, but it was hard when I was throwing Cheerios at a little monster the whole time. I remember that we're told to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I see perseverance when I see our elderly brothers and sisters in Christ who I know don't feel good a lot of times, but they just keep serving God year after year. They keep setting a good example for all of us, encouraging us. I remember that they're living out the command to not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I see those who have struggled with sexual sin, with divorce, with marriage problems, with family problems, with emotional scars. And I hear Jesus saying, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sick. And I need you to heal me. I need you to help me. I've watched some of you here lose loved ones or battle disease and sickness, and I'm reminded of a psalm of David, Psalm 34, verse 18, which says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I've always loved 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, that whole chapter is on the resurrection, but specifically beginning in verse 13. I think that really just cuts through all the fog and all the noise and gets right to the heart of what the gospel is all about. It says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then everything in my life, everything in your life is completely meaningless, pointless, useless, futile. But Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he said, do you believe this? And so as we look back on this past year and close the book on it, and hopefully open the book on a brand new year, I ask you tonight, do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He was and is the Son of the living God? Because I can tell you, brethren, I believe it. Do you believe that He is the only hope of the world? Do you believe that He is the only one who's going to give any meaning to your life? Because I can tell you, I believe it. Do you believe that Jesus is going to come back one day to judge the world, and every one of us is going to be called forward individually to stand before Him in judgment and give an account of our lives? And do you believe that it is only those who are found in Christ who will be saved? Because I can tell you, brethren, I believe it. If you believe it, won't you obey Him? If you want to act on your faith by becoming a Christian tonight, or if you're in need of prayers from your brethren, won't you come forward as we stand and sing together?
But that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleansing spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms.
And grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come, I I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
This time we'll have the closing prayer and announcements.
Just bow. Holy, righteous, Heavenly Father, we come to You this time thanking You for this day. Thanking You, Father, for allowing us to be here this afternoon, tonight. We're thankful, Father, that we have a nice place, building to come to worship You in. We're thankful, Father, for all the many gifts of this life, realizing that You are the good giver of all gifts. Father, we thank You so much for Your Son, the sacrifice He made in our behalf. This time, Father, we thank you for those young men that stood up here tonight and gave us a part of their lives and realized, Father, this is what Christians are all about, sharing and caring for each other. Father, this time we pray for those that are sick, pray for those that are lost loved ones. We pray for Deborah James as she deals with the loss of her father. We pray for her mother as she deals with the loss of her husband. We pray now, Father, for Deborah Chapman as she deals with cancer in her lives. We ask you, Father, to look down upon these and bless them and comfort them. We ask you, Father, that you go with us through the rest of this our life, rest of this week, and forgive us of our sins, because we know we do fall short. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.